Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. We're very glad you've all chosen to worship with us today. We especially like to welcome any visitors visiting with us today. And anyone looking to join our church family, please visit with our pastor or one of our elders. Please remember to sign the registry at the end of each row and pass it down and to check your bulletin for announcements. We do have lots going on. First of all, is Tristan here today? She's celebrating a birthday this week. Well, we can catch her next week. We also, please know that it's Dawn's birthday, and she'd probably appreciate a card if you have a chance. The women of the church will host the annual PW Farmland Gathering on September 18th. There's a sign-up sheet for food for this event, and all are invited to attend. Today is our celebration of feast, and we're going to have a little twist. We will celebrate communion and collect for the food pantry as usual, but the meal will be a church picnic at the home of Mary and Jim Laird. Carpooling is available, as well as maps. The worship committee will meet Monday at 6 p.m. So worship committee, please note the change in time at 6 p.m. The bell choir practice will begin next Sunday at 9 a.m. Posters about our fundraiser are available. If you need one, please see Gwen. And if you have some place to put it up, please do so. The cookbooks are here. They are $10 each, and you can get them from either Kathy or Pat. And finally, the Women's Bible Study Group will meet Wednesday at 6 o'clock. The study this year will be the Book of Revelations. All are invited to that. It's not just for the ladies. And at this time, let us stand, let us worship the Lord. O God, you forsake not your people, nor abandon your heritage. Justice will return to righteousness, for the upright to follow.
You have become my stronghold, O God, the rock of my refuge. When my foot slips, you will uphold me.
Let us worship God. Let us pray. O God, our rock and redeemer, you are the stronghold and the refuge of faith, the foundation of hope, and the safeguard for all who praise your name. With you, we can walk and not stumble, run and not fall, and lie down in safety. We shall fill our days with visions of your lofty splendor and consider each moment as sacred because of your grace. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 647 in the Green Hymnal. We have come to join in worship.
We have come to join in worship.
Holy One, who opens eyes and ears, makes the mute to speak, and delivers the tormented with demons within, invites us to seek the healing we need. God reigns in spite of us, but longs for our participation in faith-filled ministries. Let us confess our estrangement from the one who offers us true freedom. God in Christ, who endured the cross in your own flesh for our sakes, hear us as we confess our sin. We would be your bold disciples, but we fear suffering. We would carry our cross, but it weighs too heavily. We count the cost of following you as long as there are benefits. But to renounce all we have is a devastating prospect. Forgive the conditions we make when we try to obey, and free us by your grace to forsake all and follow you. Is just and takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Through Christ there is hope of eternal forgiveness. Take back from your past and embrace God's promised assurance. In Christ there is redemption and release from all sin. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Prepare to hear our scripture readings this morning. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Inclusive God, ever available to all who truly seek you, come to us now through all we read and speak, that the messages your people hear may become your word to us, a word that transforms, makes whole, and unites us in mutual learning and service. For the sake of all your children, amen. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord as follows: Get up and make your way down to the potter's house, and there I shall tell you what I have to say. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at the wheel. But the vessel he was making came out wrong, as may happen with clay when a potter is at work. So he began again, and shaped it into another vessel, as he thought fit. Then the word of the Lord came to me as follows: House of Israel, can I not do to you what the potter does? The Lord demands. Yes, like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are mine, House of Israel. Sometimes I announce that I shall uproot, break down, and destroy a certain nation or kingdom. Should the nation I have threatened abandon its wickedness, I can change my mind about that disaster which I had intended to inflict on it. Sometimes I announce that I shall build up and plant a certain nation or kingdom. But should that nation do what displeases me and refuse to listen to my voice, I then change my mind about the good which I was intending to confer on it. So now, say this to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem: The Lord says this, listen, I am preparing a disaster for you. I am working out a plan against you. So now, each one of you, turn your back on your evil ways, amend your conduct and your actions. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is number 486, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning continues from the book of Luke. We're now in chapter 14 and we're reading verses 25 through 35 as I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Great crowds were following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple." And a brief word here. A lot of you have seen that translated as "you must hate your mother and father," and that was a Jewish expression. And it really does translate best to say, you've got to like me more. You've got to love me more. It's got to be more important to you than anything. And it's not about hating family. You cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates and then checking to see if there is enough money to pay the bills? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of funds. And then how everyone would laugh at you. They would say, "There's the person who started that building and ran out of money before it was finished." Or what king would ever dream of going to war without first sitting down with his counselors and discussing whether his army of 10,000 is strong enough to defeat the 20,000 soldiers who are marching against him? If he is not able, then while the enemy is still far away, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace. So no one can become my disciple without giving up everything for me. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for fertilizer. It is thrown away. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Have you ever stopped to think about how frequently advertisers try to get us to buy things by convincing us that they are either easy to use, even a child can do it, or we can get it in a hurry, no waiting, or a real bargain, as in we'll double your order, or some combination of those three? Anything that costs a lot of money is sold by the idea that we're worth it. But you just never hear someone shouting, "Hey, this does a great job, but it's going to be really difficult to operate." Or, "We take such pride in our work, it will be 2 to 3 years before you get it." Or, "If you want this, you're going to have to sell everything else you own." You just don't hear that. It seems that we have an addiction to instant gratification, cheap instant gratification, and it's taking us, it seems, as a country down a well-groomed, wide path to perdition. I suspect if a politician today made a speech claiming that he or she had nothing to offer except blood, toil, tears, and sweat, and followed that with a claim that we have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind, we have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering, he or she wouldn't get enough votes to fill a wastebasket. Nobody wants to hear that. We want the quick fix. We want things to work, and we want it now, as long, of course, as it doesn't cost us anything personally. It plays out in our economic life, our political life, and our personal relationships. So it should be no surprise that it plays out in our spiritual lives as well. 1 hour out of 168 every week for God? Well, sure, if we don't have anything else to do. But golly, the preacher better be entertaining, and the music better be good if I'm going to go to the trouble to get up and get dressed on my day off. Great crowds followed him. But Jesus knew that a lot of those folks were just along for the excitement of watching someone get healed, or for the free food, or maybe to see if Jesus and the religious leaders would get into another argument. It was fun to see some of those stuffy rabbis get their comeuppance. Or maybe it was just a slow time at work and it was better than staying home. And they would come up to Jesus when they could work their way to where he was and tell him how great he was and how much they agreed with him. Obviously, there were some who wanted to join that inner circle of disciples. Jesus knew the reasons they came. And as that crowd of people neared Jerusalem, Jesus told them, "The only way you can be my disciple is to love me more than you love your own family, more than you love your own life. You have to be willing to give up everything else for me." Behind the house that David and I lived in Grand Prairie, there was a huge vacant lot. It had obviously been cleared, but then it just sat there for years. The grass was beginning to grow up again on it when we were there. Originally, it had been part of a huge building project that included condominiums all over the Metroplex. But before construction could begin on the acreage behind our house, the developers ran out of money. Actually, they ran out of money because of some shady business practices that landed them in jail, but the result was the same. Vacant lots and half-built projects littering the landscape because some folks weren't willing to pay what it would take to do it right. Now, most of you have probably seen that cartoon where there's a pig and a chicken standing in front of a cafe, and in the window there's a sign that says, breakfast special, ham and eggs, $4.95. And the chicken is turning to the pig and saying, wow, what a great deal. The pig looks back at the chicken and replies, maybe for you. For you, it's a job. For me, it's a total commitment. Total commitment. Is it ever worth it? At some point in our lives, we face that question. Is it worth it to refuse to go along with your friends when you know what they're doing is wrong? Is it worth it to leave a secure job to go back to school? Is it worth it to commit to marriage when so many marriages fail? Is it worth it to decide to have children when everything in the world is so uncertain? As I was writing this, I was remembering bringing my daughter home from the hospital, and when she was 5 days old, 10 days old, watching the television as the news came on about the assassination of John Kennedy. And I held that infant and I thought, what have I done? What have I brought this child into? I brought my second child home and the news on the radio was rioting in Watts. And again, I thought, what were we thinking? It's a commitment we make. And yet, total commitment. It's never fast, cheap, or easy. But is it ever worth it? Now, most of us are willing to make commitments, but we really prefer them to be either short-term or with minimal demands on our personal space. And, oh yes, an escape clause, a parachute, whether or not it's golden. Because we never know how things will go when we do make commitments. When you put your heart into something, it may get broken. Your friends may shut you out if you don't go along with them. You may struggle to pay your bills and go to school. You may find yourself attracted to someone other than your spouse. Your children may not live their lives the way you think best for them. Total commitment to something is risky business. It demands our hearts and our minds and our souls. It demands that we be willing to give up everything that stands in opposition to it. And a total commitment to Jesus Christ, to be his follower, demands our very selves. It demands our willingness to allow God to continually form and reform us until we become vessels fit for his purposes. Even as Jesus was willing to set aside his rightful place in heaven and become incarnate. One of us. Now I want to be clear that I am not talking about the unhealthy psychological blurring of oneself that may occur when we allow ourselves to identify too closely to something or someone else. But when we choose to become Jesus' disciple and allow God to shape us, our personalities are not annihilated. Nor do we become robots or automatons, but rather the Creator lovingly shapes us, like the potter, into the person we were intended to be from the beginning. The person that God held in God's heart before we were even born. Total commitment to discipleship means that whatever it is that we are called to do or be will be a part of God's plan. Our very lives become our cross when we are willing to have our lives shaped by our commitment to the crucified Messiah. That means that the work we do during the week is consecrated. Whether we serve as volunteers or vice presidents, bus drivers or barbers, students or secretaries, parents or plumbers, or any other of a multitude of tasks, all of us, when we offer our time, talent, and labor to God, are bearing our crosses by allowing the whole of our lives to be shaped by the potter through our commitment to Christ. Just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his will commands, the old song says. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. Can it be done? With the help of the Holy Spirit, it can. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and say what we believe using the words from the ecumenical version of the Nicene Creed found on page 15 of the Blue Hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Hear again the proverb: those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. What a joy we can know from our own thankfulness exceeds our acquisitions, and our concern for others outweighs our greed. We are invited to share what we have received. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
grace and peace, we come as free agents of Christ's reconciling love. We give our lives as a thank offering for the bountiful mercies you bestow on us. You refresh our hearts by the gift of a Savior. May what we bring enrich others who seek your deliverance. Take us and use us as stewards of your grace and your peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Chalice is made of clay, and because it is handmade, it is unique. There are others similar to it. There's another one up there, but each one is different. Even as God created each one of us for a specific purpose, the potter who formed this chalice intended it for a particular purpose. She saw it in her mind before she began forming it. It can be used for other things. It can be misused. It can be set aside and put to no use whatsoever. Yet at this table, we attach a particular significance to it. At this table, as the vessel that holds the communion wine, a reminder of God's presence with us this day, a reminder Jesus thought it was worth the cost to become one of us and to pour out his life's blood for us. As we come to the table this morning, I encourage you to renew your commitment to become vessels of God's love and God's grace in a world that so desperately needs it. Come to the joyful feast of the people of God. Scripture tells us they will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And it was in that act that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites all who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. With thanksgiving, let us offer to God our grateful praise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us, lumps of clay, image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way, and then in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us, to heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live for others as Christ lived for us. announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all peoples and nations. By your Spirit, draw us together into one body and join us to Christ the Lord, that we may remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, forever and ever. Amen. With the confidence of the children of God, let us now pray together the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and his rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. We give you thanks that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before he died, took bread, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Ministering to you in his name, I give you this bread. The same way after dinner he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Ministering to you in his name, I give you this cup. Let us pray. Loving God, you graciously feed us who have received these holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 346, "O Come to Me," the Master Said.